When was your conducting debut?
It was a small production in Germany of Entführung aus dem Serail. Again, this piece, it's like a silver line through my opera life. I will conduct that in Munich next year as well. So that was in 1996.
You joined the Frankfurt Opera
That's
as
right.
a student, I believe, or just after your studies.
I never finished my studies because this job came out of a sudden, and my former teacher, he went to Frankfurt as music director, and after half a year, I got a call from him. He said, "Oh, look, there's a free post job. Yeah, you should apply for it." It was the job of a rehearsal pianist. So I said, "Okay, yeah, good. I go to Frankfurt. I play for them." Never expecting that I would get this job, and so I got this job. I was really happy, lucky to start working, because the most you learn what's working. You don't learn it during your studies. You get a certain amount of let's say technique, what we say Handwerk, to work with the people. That's essential. Especially for a conductor. I mean, you have to deal with people. So it's more about psychology than maybe about how to beat a 4-4 bar, you know? You have to convince all these wonderful musicians to play in a certain way, to play with one common idea.
When you had gone into university, what was it you were actually studying?
I was studying conducting. Yeah, right away. And
this is in Hamburg.
That happened in Hamburg. I did also some, but that was really rough. I did some studies in philosophy, just a bit. And my focus was totally on conducting.
And you were at Frankfurt for 10 years?
Yeah.
And so, ended up as resident conductor?
Yeah. So what we say as a Kapellmeister, there's a very German tradition.
That sounds much more charming.
It sounds charming, yeah. And it's a very... Well, it changed a bit in the last decades, but before in former times, it was the guy who, you know, who could jump in for whatever piece you ask him to do. People who had a huge repertoire and who had probably a wonderful technique to show without saying any words, to show the orchestra what they want. You know, it's a really good school to learn about conducting that way. So you start basically as a rehearsal pianist. Then they might ask you to conduct one evening a show. And you do well. They ask you to do some more. You do well with these things too. And then they might ask, "Okay, we have this post of a Kapellmeister here. We would like to offer you this job."
Johannes, the repertoire you've worked with so far is very wide-ranging, from Mozart to Hansa. Is there any particular period or composers that you're drawn to?
For me, it was always fascinating to get the whole picture, to get the possibility not only to listen to, from Monteverdi to Hansa and other composers of our time, but also to get the possibility to conduct a wide-range repertoire. I think after a while you realize, as a conductor, as a singer has to do as well, as other musicians might have to do, that certain periods, certain composers, certain pieces suit you better than others. But it's a matter of time and experience. Even if I don't conduct... I did it, but now I don't conduct Puccini a lot. I love his music. I think these operas are phenomenal, are great. But there might be conductors around the world that can conduct this music in a much easier way than I could do. So I could say, okay, I adore Puccini, but I will not conduct Puccini. Of course, as a German native speaker, I have a certain relation to the German repertoire. As an Italian-born conductor, you have a certain relation to repertoire in Italian. I'm sure and I hope that I will conduct more Wagner, Strauss. I'm totally in love with Mozart, but I'm also totally in love with Verdi. I'm not sure whether I will be whether I am a great Verdi conductor. I don't know. That other people have to judge that. It means a lot to me, this music, which is so truthful, authentic, and which comes, you know, let's say, from the soul of the Italian nation. And even more than that, it's more universal than just Italy. But it has these roots. It's like in Mussorgsky, is another example.
Right.
You can really experience the Russian soul, and even more than that. So you have these deep roots, and you have this vision of these great composers. Some German contemporaries of Verdi, and well, some composers after that, like even Wagner. Wagner, he said, "Oh, the Verdi orchestra just sounds like a huge guitar," which was not a compliment, or not a real compliment. And Hans Pfitzner, he said, "Oh, this, you know, this instrument, the Leierkasten."
Hurdy-gurdy.
So that was Pfitzner said, "Oh, it's this hurdy-gurdy music." That was really, yeah, that's what they said. I mean, Verdi said some things about Lohengrin, about Wagner's music as well. So there's a certain truth in it. But I like an authentic hurdy-gurdy more than just, you know, some music that pretends to be something.
The honesty of the hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah, the honesty of hurdy-gurdy. And I mean, come on, the success of La Donna Immobile and things like that. Yeah, what can you say? You hear one bar of fun, tun, tun, and you get this strong energy and you're blown away. Verdi, Mozart, Wagner, I think these three are really above all. They really gave the opera, the form of opera, a new dimension.
And now we're going to listen to some Salome.
Salome is another piece that accompanies me for a long time, and I played it a lot. I remember so well playing the rehearsals for a very old German conductor, and what he told the singers and the musicians about this piece was just, it was great, because he could tell them exactly what he wants in just a few words. That was remarkable. So Salome is a fascinating piece, from the very first bar until the last bar. And it's, how to say, 80, 90 minutes, we say Dauer power. It's a never-ending power. It's a stream. It's a huge stream, takes you away, ending in that kind of catastrophe, which is already set up at the beginning. I mean, the page says at the beginning, "Ich weiß, es wird Schreckliches geschehen." I know something terrible will happen. you can Strauss set the atmosphere from the very first bar, from this sort of clarinet curtain. You have what we say, a schwüle Luft. So it's an air which is, you know, in summertime, it's humid, it's hot, oppressive. It does not feel very comfortable, not at all. It's sort of a claustrophobic situation. The language, the musical language Strauss found here is really kind of extreme and shocking. And I think it is still. And if you heard this end with some bitonal elements, you know, which are really hard and brutal, like a knife in your gut. He dared a lot with this piece and Elektra, and you know that afterwards he said, "I can't go on." Wait, because it was so extreme.
It's a really cathartic experience sitting through either of those operas.
Yeah, it is.
And it ends in a devastating scene. We're going to hear part of that right up to the last bar. Salome has been given the head of John the Baptist and has her very grisly moment with it. And we'll hear Gwyneth Jones as Salome. And at the very end, Richard Casserly as Herod. This is with Carl Böhm conducting the Hamburg State Opera Orchestra in a recording from 1970. Thank you.
Wozzeck is one of my favorite operas, to be honest. I think it's one of the masterpieces that have been written so far in the opera repertoire. It's a piece where all the elements, the libretto, the music, the form, the structure, and let's say the emotion are in such a perfect, a great balance. You really can't take one note out of it. It's wonderful. It's just stunning. It always fascinates me. I think Berg really was one of the greatest composers ever lived.
Are we going to listen to an orchestral?
Yes, and in this bit, I would say you can hear the summary of the whole opera. So the main themes reappear, come back, and it's also Berg's very humanistic statement. It's a very strong statement he makes here, without words, just with music.
We're going to hear Karl Böhm conducting the orchestra of the Deutsche Oper Berlin. I read somewhere that one of your Desert Island discs would be the Goldberg Variations.
to be honest, I would go with my iPod with some more things on it, you know, that I have a variety, that I have a choice. But if I'm not allowed to take my iPod, I'm not sure. Goldberg, yeah, this is a piece I was always fascinated
by. You're allowed more than one when you go to your desert island.
Really? Am I?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's
I don't
these
know why,
are good news.
I believe you are.
Good news. Thank you.
When you're not working, what do you like to do?
I like to be outside. I like to be in the nature. In May, June, I spent some time in Innsbruck in Austria, which is in between the mountains. I did Wozzeck there. And in between my performances, I either went hiking through the mountains by foot, by bike. I did it by bike, which was exciting. Of course, the downhill ride was exciting and fast and dangerous. I also rent a car and I went down to Italy. Italy is one of my sort of my beloved countries. And I went to the Lago di Garda and I was windsurfing there. So that was great. I loved it. Well, besides that, I'm very much interested in the arts. I like to go to museums, to galleries, and I'm happy that there are so many possibilities here in Toronto. I'd love to read more. I'm a bit lazy with reading, but I'd love to read more. Once I finish the book, which always takes me a lot of time, I think, I should read more. What a good book. I should read more. There's so many, many good things you can read. Hanging around, drinking a coffee, meeting friends.
That sounds very good. Johannes, thank you so much for taking time out today to talk with me.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
This is Jana Wichlow. Thank you for listening today. For more information about the Canadian Opera Company and all its activities, please visit coc.ca, where you can purchase tickets and recordings online. Please join me again in this continuing series of podcasts sponsored by DECA, the opera label.